Hello. Isn't it a wonderful, nice, balmy day today? Can enjoy the beautiful, cool fall weather. Please don't stop. Keep watching. I know that some don't appreciate the seasonal change. But God, here we are. Time to spend time with you. I ask that you would be with each one as we go through this message. And as we begin, let's start with including God. Thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father. We know your presence is here. And God, we welcome you. We thank you. We ask that you would be with every aspect of this message, that the words would come across clearly, that we could hear exactly what you have prepared for each one of us. We trust that you love us and that you will provide every avenue that is needed. And God, we just thank you and ask for your complete and total blessing in Christ's name. Amen. Today's message is no hidden agendas. Is there such a thing? Does that exist? In your world, can you think of no hidden agendas or strings attached? Many times that is a part of whatever circumstance or relationship that we find ourselves in. But as we go through this message, we will go through different aspects of that. We'll start with, what is your sphere of influence? Do you have a sphere of influence? Certainly, I think each one of us can immediately think of family, and that changes as the years go by. As a parent, your influence over your small children is much more pronounced than they are as a teenager. And hopefully that comes back full circle as they become adults and have children of their own, that that sphere of influence is still there, but it is going to be different. If you've listened to this message from times past, you will remember that I mentioned my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, and the impact or the influence he had on my life, especially the last few years, was very pronounced. I take a lot of wisdom that he shared with me in just the influence of what he experienced in life, and he poured that into me. So that was a form of influence that I received. Hopefully, my daughters and grandchildren have an equal positive experience of some influence from me. But in your world, maybe an influence is a coworker, someone that you work with, a neighbor. Sometimes the influence that we can set and have with a neighbor can be very positive. It may even go so far as you eat routinely at a restaurant and you have the same waiter or waitress. And over the course of time, that sphere of influence goes both ways. You can share life and they share life, and that influence becomes very pronounced with one another. It all depends or flows out of relationships. You know, we may have a small number of people that we influence daily in our lives. And most of the time, it's people within our own homes. But do you have an impact or an influence on anyone outside of your home? Think about that. Are there people that you influence just by the very nature of your being and the relationship you have with them? Our spheres of influence, great or small, are places where we have the privilege, even the responsibility, to participate with Christ in furthering his work of healing, wholeness, and renewal in this world. To define participate is to possess some of the attributes of a person, thing, or quality, to have a part or share in something. So as we read this sentence, our sphere of influence, great or small, are places where we have the privilege, even the responsibility, to participate, to possess some of Christ's attributes to share in something he is doing with his work of healing, wholeness, and renewal in this world. Jesus has called us into that wonderful opportunity. As we go through the text today, it will be from the reading you heard earlier, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 8. Paul begins with sharing, what sharing the gospel looks like. He shares what that is for us to see. Paul and his companions suffered deeply in Philippi, and it's alluded to in verse 2 of today's text. Paul sees his ministry as a participation, a part of sharing what Jesus is in his ministry, in Jesus' ministry. Do you see yourself participating in Jesus' ministry? Do you have that sphere of influence that shows and reflects Jesus Christ? Ask yourself how we should be doing ministry in our own Christian communities as we participate in Jesus' ministry. What does that look like for you, where you live, where you visit on a routine basis, whether it's a place to eat, if you're working a workplace? But what does participating in the ministry of Jesus for you look like? Paul had no hidden agenda, no bait and switch, no health and wealth idea or concept. He simply preached the good news of Jesus Christ. We are planted and called to participate in the ministry of Jesus in those communities, our community where our church is, our community where we live. We are called to participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Some of the characteristics that we will discuss today come from today's text. Paul talks about himself, about us, and about Jesus. I will be using the Holman Christian Standard Bible, beginning in 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 2. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and we were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. Basically, he is saying God has them, spoke to them, led them to be bold in proclaiming Jesus Christ. So the first characteristic that we will discuss is fearless faith. Paul and Silas had been stripped, beaten, thrown into prison, and their feet fastened in the stocks. This was from his experience in Philippi. It had not only been an extremely painful experience, but humiliating as well, since they were flogged naked in public, without trial, and in spite of their Roman citizenship. Their status, your position in your community will not save you if the enemy takes their element. That's what Paul was experiencing. He was a Roman citizen. Everything that applied to this narrative, it should not have happened, but it did. Our only saving grace is in Jesus Christ. Paul's courage was in God and his word, Jesus. If we are to imitate Paul and the Lord, then fearless faith will undergird, will become our foundation of all that we do in ministry. There can be no compromise. Jesus is our fearless faith. We'll go back to 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 3, and Paul continues, "For our exhortation didn't come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but rather God who examines our heart. For we never use flattering speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness. And we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others, although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles. The second characteristic we see in Paul is uncompromised hope. There is no compromise. There is hope. The message of the gospel is a message of hope. It is God's good news. No flattering speech or greedy motives. Simple truth. Paul's ministry was a stewardship of the gospel, and his primary motive was to please and serve God. Paul proclaims the gospel out of the hope that flows from God's approval. Each member in the body of Christ is called to proclaim through word and deed the message of hope found in the gospel. Each member of the body of Christ includes each one of us. We are a part of this same narrative he's speaking. What we say and what we do is the message that we portray. Can we point to Christ for the sake of others, even if it costs us popularity and favor? Are we more aware of who we are, position, or who we are? Which is the most important? Is Jesus the most important in your life, in my life? I have to ask myself these questions. Will we compromise, or will the hope found in Jesus motivate us beyond self-interest? Now, I want to repeat this, and I want you and me, as I hold a mirror in front of me, as I read to myself as well, the imagery. Will I compromise, or will the hope found in Jesus motivate me beyond self-interest? Do I take this as a personal charge? Do I value Jesus Christ and his good news more than anything else? And am I willing to share it? When we interact with others inside and outside the church, do we see them as children of the Father whose true hope lies in Jesus, or do we see them as obstacles or tools to manipulate for our own self-promotion? Hope in Christ releases our grip on our desire to control and manipulate others. Jesus is our uncompromised hope. God does not manipulate his people. In Jesus, we see exactly who God is. No tricks, no gimmicks, no distortions, no bait and switch, just who Jesus is. Jesus is the hope of the world, and he never compromised himself in that proclamation. He is asking us to participate in his uncompromised hope, to share with us by the Spirit, to have a part, to take and share in, be what he is doing, participating with him. We'll go back to 1 Thessalonians 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 7. And Paul continues, although we could have been a burden in Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother nurtures her own children. We cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. The third characteristic we see in Paul is shared love. Paul was not harsh or heavy-handed with the church of Thessalonica. He treated them as if they were his own dear children. He truly loved and cared for them. Do you truly love and care for each one? Within our church, do we share that love? Does it flow outside It's one thing to say you love someone, but to put your own life in active demonstration of that love is something else altogether. Have you experienced this? Either receiving that kind of love that someone is laying their life down for you, or have you maybe done that for someone else? You've shared your life so deeply with them. We have to share ourselves. That's a part of what life is about. Love reaches into its goal of being shared. We don't just love people by loving them just the way they are, but we love them by sharing with them in a way that fits who they are becoming in Christ. The phrase, loving them just as they are, that's a great starting point. That's a beautiful place to begin. But it moves beyond that. We're sharing to who they are becoming in Christ. What an awesome blessing that is. If we want to see what shared love looks like, we look no farther than Jesus Christ. I'm going to list a few points that Jesus shared and think about each one. Jesus came among us, born into our flesh and blood, to share life with us. He came as a small human baby and lived his life to share with us. He shared in our humanity. He understands who we are. He became man, fully God and fully man. He opened a way in himself to share his own shared life of love with the Father by the Spirit. It's in Jesus that we are given a share in the shared life of love that has existed for all eternity as Father, Son, and Spirit. Pause and reflect and just think about you through Jesus and his love for you and me has shared in his love of the Father and the Spirit that has existed forever. We are included in that. The Father does not coerce his children into relationship with him. He is gentle towards us in and through his Son, Jesus. We're not forced. We're not beat up. We're not told that this is what you have to do. But we are shared with the love of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus gave himself to us. We have faith, hope, and love because of Jesus Christ.